The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Shuttle Drive. I'm your host, Wade Harrison, and I'm here today with my buddy, Boyd Ruppelt. Figure it out as we go along. But yeah, hey, Boyd, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, man, it is hot out here, but it is so good. You look like you got some nice AC going.
Yeah, I'm in my little office area, and I've got an AC vent right behind me, so I'm good. I'm actually a little cold.
Oh, my gosh. I got some heat I can pass your way out here. I'm drinking
a and for everybody that doesn't know, I think you're right outside Nashville, right?
I think our heat index today was 108.
Well, but, you guys in your country music. You got your country music, your boots and spurs and all that.
I don't know what the actual temperature was. Does anybody even pay attention to that? It's like,
I think everybody likes the heat index because it sounds more intense.
Yeah, I think
like the wind chill factor. Yeah, who the hell talks about wind chill factor? Wind chill factor of negative 52 today. I'm like, get out of here.
Kayakers who get off the river with the wrong gear, they talk about it.
Oh, yeah. That's a topic. Yeah. Those kayakers out there that's wearing like a shorty top. And it's like, I'm fine. I'm like, you're fine until you're not fine. Wait till you swim on a remote run.
When I was in Pucón, we took a group down a section of the Rio Nuble, and I think it had only been done a couple times before. And we were so excited to do it, and they were so excited to do it that half of these people didn't have dry suits. None of them had dry suits, I don't think. Maybe one or two of them.
And they didn't think that – they think, oh, Chile's like tropical, right? They don't think of the water temp. Because that's all melting up the Andes, right?
And we were going to do the Rio Claro, which is like 90 degrees outside and the water's warm. So you just wear a t-shirt and you're good. So, and it's in the desert, you know, there's no, so you're like, yeah, that's good. That's perfect. But it dropped out of me.
Oh, really? What's the water temp? What was the water temp out there?
You know, most places it's freshly melted.
Yeah. So it could be 33 in the 40s. Oh, low 30s. Oh boy.
Like sometimes the glacier's hanging over your head and then the water just like, you know, take the Nantahala and subtract like a lot.
Yeah. And a lot of it's remote, right? So it's pretty remote. So if you had like a bad swim and you didn't have proper gear, like you didn't have a dry suit or something, and it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, it could be a bad day, huh?
Oh, we spent a long day on that river. It was so worth it. But when we got out, it was raining and sleeting, and we were all freezing.
Sleeting,
I think I was in a shorty. I think I was that guy. I might have been wearing it.
Oh, you were that guy. Never mind.
I was freezing, man. I was cold. Everybody was cold.
One of the things that me and you had talked about, I did a video on like toe tethers not too long ago, and I reached out to you because I know you've got a lot of like rescue kayaking experience and a lot of instruction experience. I was curious about your opinion of those damn toe tethers. I'm anti toe tether. I hate them. Okay. Well, there you go. Everybody, you hear that? So all the haters that message me and told me that, you know, they're still going to wear them.
You took some heat for that.
I did take some heat. So people
took some heat.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. But you know what? I like the heat. Yeah. Fire away.
Everybody and their mom, it's a level 4 ACA instructor, was like on you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they had their patches and their certification.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them. I used mine this weekend, not my toe tether, my sling, like we were talking about. Yeah. I put two carabiners in the pocket with a sling. And, you know, guy's pinning his boat in the middle of the river on the, you know, the second Boulder Garden Rapid on West Fork of the Tuck.
I'm sure I do. Yeah. You're talking about like after put in rapid. It's a very penny rapid.
He got pinned in there somehow. He got broached in the exit of one of them and pinned end to end. And he was in his boat. And yeah, I had to go extract him. And, you know, that extra step of attaching another carabiner to my quick release. I mean, that was just.
Oh, you actually clipped into your rescue harness.
I had to like clip into my rescue harness and
wade out to him.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, wow.
I had to go get him and then go get his boat. And I didn't need
What kind of boat was he in, by the way?
Oh, he's in a Waka. And it didn't break.
Wow. A Waka that doesn't break in a southeast pin.
It dented
pretty bad. What model?
It was a pretty bad dent. It was a Goat.
Okay. All right. Well, they're pretty solid. Supposedly Waco redid their plastic, and it's a lot stronger.
Yeah, I think it was just the regular Goat, and it was a black one, so it didn't show it very well.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got him out. Did you have to clip into those plastic grab handles, by the way?
Oh, man. It was. I ended up actually just kicking it off the
– Okay.
I ended up
– Put like, your shoe into a Goat. Huh?
Yeah. Guy was holding me, and I was dragging, and eventually I got a foot on it.
Yeah. So you don't run a toe tether at all.
I don't like it.
Outside instruction of like class 2-3 stuff, I never seen the kind of the purpose of them. I mean, look at a run like the West Fork of the Tuck, right? Where are you going to be towing boats? Think of it this way. Where could that toe tether cause you more problems on West Fork of the Tuck?
Everywhere. Everywhere.
That's the main question.
Where it's safe.
No.
I just think that you could be, I don't know, maybe you could do it on the slide section. You know, like
exactly.
Slide section where there's like the slides and the bedrock. Like maybe you could tow a boat there.
But that's probably where people aren't swimming.
You could just bulldoze a boat.
Who's swimming slides?
Yeah. Or you can just stick it in a hole, right? Yeah. You could just take the boat, put it in a hole until the swimmer gets there, and you get the swimmer, and then you get the boat, and it'll come out eventually.
Well, there you go, because you're one of the guys. When I reached out to probably five different, like, paddlers that I know, and almost every one of them, it was unanimous that they're like, outside like instructions or class three, I don't really see a point in doing
that. The only time is if you're instructing a group of beginners on a wide open river where
they're
responsible to have something.
Yeah.
But otherwise, even the fact that you have a visible toe tether means everybody's screaming at you to clip into a boat at the wrong time.
Yeah, exactly. A boat full of water.
Because you're like, no. I'm not clipping into that.
No, it's going into the next rapid.
You didn't care enough to put float bags in it.
Yeah, there you go. How about
float bags? Why am I going to clip into that?
So you run float bags.
I do, man. Yeah. Even a beach ball.
Take a
dollar store beach ball and stick it in the back of your boat or something to just, you know, make it easier for somebody to grab.
That's actually what I used when I first started paddling. Was I was like, I got to get some float bags. And then I was like, damn, those things are expensive. They're like $70 a pair. And I just went and got some beach balls at like Walmart, blew them up. And it was something. And what a lot of people don't understand, it also adds structure to that tail. Because think about it, that pressure of those bags actually will possibly keep the tail from being folded.
I've always wondered about that. I've always wondered how much structural support it would really add. I would imagine
it just makes sense, don't it?
It does make sense. I mean, I'm guilty of not having float bags sometimes. You'll see me on a run in a boot that's not even outfitted sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I've done that. We all do that from time to time. No hip pads. Can't touch the... I went off a boot one time in somebody else's boat, and I remember that I couldn't quite hold it because I couldn't reach the knees. And so when I did the crunch, like my body was just kind of falling in the boat. And then I fell all the way forward in the bow of the boat. And the spray skirt, the cockpit came up to my chest. And then I landed.
What boat was this?
It was some big Mamba, I think. It was
the Mamba 8.6 or something.
Yeah, and it was a big one. So, it wasn't outfitted, and the guy was bigger than me, and I was just trying not to have to portage a boat.
So what are you? You're like 140, 150?
I'm 160.
165.
Five-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 160.
And currently, you know, for everybody that knows, he's definitely a Jackson fanboy. You've been paddling for Jackson in a while. What gave that away?
Right?
Yeah. Is that the years you've been paddling Jackson? 17? So there you go.
At this point, since 2005, I mean.
Well, there you go. He's almost – they made that. If you guys are looking for a shirt, you can do that. And also something you guys might not know is Boyd actually just started a YouTube channel. I'm really happy he did. He's got really good content, you know, even though – he's might be Brian Orton's little brother with Sin School, but not Cinder School. Is it Sin or Sin School?
It's just Sin School.
Sin you School.
Know? And Sin Academy was taken. It's a much better name.
I like Sin School.
Yeah, but Sin School worked out, and it had nothing to do with those boys, but neither did the word send before them. You know, it was.
Oh, yeah. Forget that. Who can stake claim to a name like Sin, Cinders, and all that? No, I get that.
I sent Dan a text later, and I was like, dude, I hope you guys don't think that I took this from you guys, because that is not it.
I want you to. I hope you did. Good. I want them pissed off at you. Yeah. And what Boyd's been doing, he's been doing a lot of like using some of his footage and really critiquing it and going over a lot of technique stuff. And man, it's like, there's not a lot of that out there. There's not a lot of that good, you know, it's been done. It's not like you're the first one to put technique stuff out there. You know, I know like guys like Seth Ashworth and those guys, they've done that before too. I've done like small technique stuff, but your style of doing it's really good. And I really like your channel on that. So anybody, if you want, go over and check out the Sin School. He's got that going on, and you know, it's like, yeah, it was funny. I told you a story. I was palling with some guys from Colorado, and he goes, man, I watched this video, this guy named Sin School. I think his name, he goes, he talked about the locked in. So go ahead. Tell me what the locked in is, Boyd. Let's hear about the locked in. And you know, I don't mean in prison terms.
Yeah. The name actually came from a clinic I was teaching, and I was trying to come up with a way to tell somebody how to paddle in boily white. So I was paddling through and I was realizing I was doing things that I wasn't articulating. And I realized, oh shit. Like I push with both my feet and lift with my knees and I'm locked in my boat front to back and I can still edge my boat side to side. And it's great. I can just kind of skip over everything and not lose any speed. So I just called it a lock in. I was like, hey, all right. So lock yourself in your boat front to back and don't think about anything else. Just push your feet, push with your knees at the same time and just keep your speed. And it's weird. It's like a magic carpet ride, which would be a much better name. We could call it the magic carpet. But
well, locked in maybe sounds a little better, you know, even though it kind of.
I thought so too. Yeah. But, I feel like we need names to go with all the other moves we already have, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you can stake claim to that and do you a t-shirt locked in by Boyd Rupert. Yeah.
Locked in.
Yeah. I watched it and no, it makes sense because I've always talked about like, you know, a lot of paddlers might just kind of sit loose and not really be, because I mean, me and you both know that we're coming into like a harder rapid. I just kind of like feel the current, like I'll lock my thigh braces, like kind of like get into the thigh braces, get ready. I'm not just flop down loose and using all arms paddling. I'm using full body movement while I'm going and I'm feeling the current more. So no, it made sense. And it was just funny that you had just posted the video, like, and your channel was still just, because that was one of your earlier videos too, right?
It's still young. I think the channel's only been out, I mean, what, maybe a couple of months?
Yeah. And it's done well.
A couple of months. And
yeah. You haven't uploaded something because I think you had something with your ear or something. Well, you were down diving with bull sharks and all that.
I was about to say, I kind of took a little bite.
I was like, this dude's going to get eaten by a shark. And it looked awesome.
I've got my bull shark tooth on my bracelet.
I hope you got a story that you killed a bull shark with your bare hands.
Oh, kill a bull shark? No.
Only in self-defense, obviously.
They were like puppies. They were like.
Is it true? Is it true that if a shark's attacking you, could you just punch it in the nose?
And yeah, because you're bony, right? Like they want meat.
Well, I'm a little thick.
They realize, oh, like you don't have anything to eat. Like they never really want to eat a person, right? They don't actively attack. Like, so when you're scuba diving with them, they're like, well, you're obviously not a fish. You do things like wear gloves so your hands don't look like a fish, right?
And you're right. A lot of the shark attacks, it's not really scuba divers. It's usually misidentifying surfers and stuff like that, right? And a lot of times they don't eat people. They'll nip at them, right?
I almost got attacked during the Elsa swell.
The Elsa swell. That sounds like something off Harry Potter.
Hurricane Elsa.
Elsa. Oh, the swells.
Yeah. And the storm, the trop, it was really a tropical storm, but it was on the fence, right? But the swell that it caused really good waves. We went to surf it and I had a fish nibbling on my toes. I was just sitting on my surfboard. And I had a fish nibbling on my toes. And I actually felt something start rising next to me and it brushed my foot on the way out of the water. Full breach. Wow. This big spinner.
That had to be scary.
About my size, at least. And it
how far away from shore were you?
I was sitting out waiting on the wave. So I mean I wasn't very far, but maybe I don't know, 70 yards, 60 yards.
Far enough away where you couldn't get back to shore pretty quick. Did you see?
Maybe further. Oh yeah, clear as day.
Was it like a bull shark or could you identify it?
It was a spinner shark.
Because you're like you're like a biology teacher or something, right? For people that don't know. See, so if I got any questions on sharks or especially frogs, for whatever reason, this frog head over here, you know, boys to God to ask. So if you say you've seen a certain shark, I won't call bullshit on you. I'd be like, yeah, that was, he properly identified. And you probably even identify it by the Latin name. What's the Latin name of a bull shark?
It almost landed back on my board. It brushed my foot on the way out of the water, full breach with the fish in its mouth. The fish that was in its mouth was the fish that was nibbling on my toes. And then it landed.
I'm surprised that didn't kill it.
Prime is here. And this is what I get for sitting on the porch. See what I got. I don't even know what I have.
Chasing a squirrel. Or is that the Amazon delivery guy sending some bee's knees from Jackson?
I've got one of those little porch gates.
Yeah.
And my dog just totally bolted under it and out of it. He pushed his way out of it on the Amazon girl. She was delivering a package.
I knew it. Yeah. You just ordered your new bee's knees from Jackson. Right. So tell me about have you got any yet?
Actually, I don't have it.
Are you
mine
going
are
to?
Really aggressive. Mine are the ones that I have are just more aggressive. I love the idea. I might get some for my Nirvana.
Yeah, I love the idea until I found out they were like $79.99 or something like that.
Yeah, it's
for a piece of foam. It's not cheap.
No, but it's not cheap. But it is. It is if you like you and I can just carve our own and make everything the way mm-hmm. and know how to do that. But somebody else, for example, you know, they want something.
It looks good. I'm dying to give one like a review. I'd love to try one out. If you ever get your hands on one, I'd love to try one. Just to look at it.
I bet we could get you some to try out. They, I think the best thing about it that they did on the design from what I've seen is that the way it bulges on both sides and then folds around your knee.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's going to lock in on a much more balanced way. My knee blocks are stout on my, like on my Zen 3.
Yeah.
The ones I made in Chile were just like, my knees couldn't even get within an inch of the side of the boat. I wanted to make the boat 2 inches more narrow.
Okay.
For just.
You were paddling Nirvana or the Z?
I was paddling Nirvana before. And I like a lot of edge transitions. I like to do a lot of edge work. I like to carve turns. And especially when you're down in Chile and the water's deep, you want to carve a ton, right?
Yeah.
And I just couldn't. I just had a hard time. And actually, there was a moment where I hated the Z3 until I realized two things.
You're not the first one.
The back, I needed the knee blocks. And when I put in the knee blocks, all of a sudden it was like, oh.
Well, I remember talking to you and we were talking about the bee's knees and you had mentioned that with your Z3 about you made your own knee blocks and it kind of changed the whole dynamic of how that boat paddles, right?
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
It changes everything. And everybody.
I could see that.
Yeah. Had the knee blocks, did knee blocks, pretty stout ones too. And when we all put those in, like it was just an instant, quick.
Is that not the ugliest boat ever made by Jackson?
Man, I even said in my interview, in my review of it online, I did the Z3 versus Nirvana video, and I was like, it may look like a potato.
It may look like a fucking potato. That's an ugly duckling.
But it is so good. Like, it doesn't paddle like
that. Yeah, it doesn't roll over. I paddled one at PSR. They had the demo there, and I was there with Bonafide Kayaks, and there was a whitewater course at Oklahoma City, which is actually pretty good. I don't know if you ever check it. Who would think you go to Oklahoma for whitewater?
I couldn't get over there. I was there when they were building it. And
it's actually pretty good. It's a pretty good park. And Jackson had the prototype Z3, and I had talked to EJ, and he's like, have you tried this boat out? And I was like, no. It's kind of the first time I'd seen one in person. I was like, yeesh. I was like, damn, that could use some deck styling, that's for sure. Some cool deck styling. It was very bland on the top, and it was very wide all the way from the knees all the way up, and then it transitioned in very weird looking. And I paddled it. I did a lap around the course, and I was like, that might be the most stable boat I've ever paddled. I was like, I've never seen a boat more stable than that boat.
It's bomber. It's bomber stable. I think the part that really threw me off, though, and this is the weird thing, is that I thought at first I was paddling kind of slow. I thought at first when I got into it, I was like, it's not a very fast boat. And then I turned around and I'm like, well, where is everybody? And it turned out I was paddling way faster than I realized I was paddling. I just like it was faster than it felt.
Yeah, because if for everybody that haven't seen the Jackson Kayak Z3, it doesn't have like the modern high rocker that we're kind of seeing nowadays. It's not like super rockered out. It's like a small kick rocker at the bow, just boom, straight up. And so it has a longer water line, even though it's a short kayak, it has a longer water line. And I agree with you. I was paddling it. I was like, it's weird. Because I talked to a racer one time and they was like, it's your perception of speed. Sometimes you think you're going faster and you really are, and you're actually really slow, or you're going really fast and everybody else is going, and you're like, wow, I'm going really fast. I agree with you. It definitely rides high. It rides high. The Nevada does that too. It rides really high on the water for me.
I like that about both of them because I'm a little shorter.
Mm-hmm.
So I even add more foam in. I'm like, I want to sit even higher, you know, and foam into the seat, right? You're
prairie dogging, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've crushed my spine so much, I just need that extra support.
Yeah, and I like running a seat pad in there, too, and having and it's like it serves two functions. You're right. That seat pad, if it gave me that little bit of extra cushion off like one stout booth, it did its job. And it's here in the Southeast,
back, man.
For a lot of paddlers that don't paddle here in the Southeast, what we worry about more is landing on rocks. Am I right? Not necessarily running a 50-foot boof or a 60-foot boof and landing flat. It's landing a 10-foot boof on a ledge.
Yeah, I think you're much more likely to break your back in the Southeast than done. It blows my mind. When I broke my back, it was it wasn't in the Southeast, but it was on a 20-footer. It wasn't a 60-footer, an 80-footer, or something ridiculous or big or bigger. It was a 20-footer.
Where at?
And it was, South Mineral in Colorado? It's the easiest 20-footer in the state.
It wasn't easy that day for you.
It was, I guess the line was, I have the video of that.
Upload that video. Everybody like this video. And let's get Boyd to upload that video. You guys comment if you want to see that video of Boyd breaking his back.
You know, actually, my ears were ringing. My legs went numb, and I was sitting in the eddy. I really wasn't sure I'd broken my back yet. I was thinking, it feels like it's broken. I think it's probably broken. And it wasn't until later that I found out really that I had. The shock went straight up my spine.
So you just mistimed your stomp.
Yeah,
you kind of lost bearings in the air, mistimed your stomp. Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention. Easiest 20-footer ever. I ended up laying on the rock down there and having to get carried out, basically, like, walked out of that gorge and laid around the campground for a while. And it was ridiculous.
How long were you out? How long did it take you to recover from a broken back?
I hiked up by Cedo and kayak down with a broken back.
Okay. Well, it must not be too bad. Were you on something? It's Colorado.
I had some help.
Not fake. You're in Colorado.
It was one of those things, man, where we stopped.
That's not an easy hike. I think the elevation there is like 7,000-8,000, right?
I think the worst thing about it is the heat.
Yeah.
I think that's the most surprising thing when you hike by Cedo is that it's hot.
Yeah, and, it's definitely smoking
high
hot.
High elevation, but there's so much sun, and it's just beating down on you.
And, but you hiked that with a broken back. Wow.
Yeah, with a kayak backpack. And the kayak's just
Because you another thing that you did, you did a video about, like, how to use pool noodles or whatever.
There's a part of it, I think, at the beginning of it or somewhere. I think there's a clip of me hiking with a kayak backpack.
Yeah. Using NRS cam straps, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And in that clip, I have a broken back. It was excruciating. And then got in the car. I think the worst thing that I did was we drove 24 hours back.
Now, that sounds more painful than hiking Vallecito would have been. Because when you're moving and blood flowing and all that, I can ignore pain a little bit. It's when I just sit. Like when I was hurt, when I ruptured a disc pretty bad, it hurt worse when I was just sitting. When I was sitting, it killed me. But when I was moving around and doing things, it was painful. I knew it was like something was wrong, but I could like ignore the pain and just keep going.
Sitting is so much worse, man. It's so much worse. But that's what I knew. I was like, oh yeah, it's got to be broken.
What's your favorite Jackson boat you're paddling right now?
I'm still paddling in Nirvana a lot.
What do you think of the antics too?
But I got to tell you, I say that because we're talking about creaking.
Yeah,
I've been paddling the Antic pretty much exclusively. That one actually has one.
You got the medium, right?
I got the medium.
Yeah,
That's what I was paddling over the weekend too. I fell in love with the Ekoi again because of the antics too.
I can see that. Yeah. Half slice, a playful half slice on the Ekoi. Rewind, antics on the Ekoi. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. It's so much fun. And so paddling that, man, it opened a whole new world. So I was able to just get out there and explore all the old hole, you know, old school loopholes and things that, you know,
chopping broccoli, you can loop there and you can,
you know, all the places where we used to do like enders and pirouettes, you know, or you know, and that was the super sport when the super sport was big. You
probably I remember the old perception super sport. So you don't actually paddle like a lot of spud boats because obviously Jackson kind of like owns that market with the rock stars and all that. I don't remember seeing you much in those, like much of a rock stars and all that. Not saying you don't paddle, you haven't, but you just, it's just never been your style, right?
There was a time when it was. I just hurt my back too much.
And it sneaks up on you. It's not like, oh, I ran a 50-footer. And it's like, no, it's more like a bunch of 10-footers.
Exactly. And it was after I had been, like, I was paddling, like, we filmed Hotel Charlie River Doubt down in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. And I came back, and we carried our boats a lot. You know, Ben likes to hike. Mm-hmm. The kayak, and so we carried our boats a lot.
Do you slicey boat much? Do you do a lot in the Mixmaster? What did you think of the Mixmaster?
You know, actually, I got in the 7.5.
I did too. I don't like the small.
I loved it. I didn't like the small at all.
Boyd, I actually thought the 7.5 could have been bigger.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. Yeah. I said the same thing. Actually, the one that I got into, the one that I was in was Mike Arvidsson's, and he had ballooned it up. He had made added volume to it.
To the bow or stern?
Both, I think.
Oh, wow.
And I thought it was still too small. Like, I just was like,
oh, really? Yeah. Even blown up. Do you think it? I mean, what do you think of the boat, though? I mean, I know that Jackson discontinued it, but I really liked the boat. I thought Jackson did a really good job with that. I thought it cartwheeled like a dream. It kind of fell short for me in the surfing department. And I think that was because the ends were too rockered. It just didn't feel like it flowed very well. And not saying you couldn't do it. Yeah. It just didn't surf as well as some of the slicey boats I was used to.
I feel like it was a great idea. I really liked it. And I liked the design. I wanted bigger size. Wanted to go smaller. That's fine. Go smaller. But there's something about properly fitting. I guess those of us who were there for the slice age, you know, when we all were smushing boats and you know, things like that. I learned how to flat water cartwheel. It was a Riot Glide.
Oh, that's not a small boat.
And that is not a small boat.
That is not a small boat.
Four ends and a show bits. It was a Riot.
Yeah, that was the Riot show bits. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that thing was like the creaker version of the Glide.
And you were throwing that one around.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not in that kind of shape anymore.
You got to get in slicey boat shape. It's like, there's a season that I get, you know, golly season's coming up. So you'll probably see me out in a slicey boat on a golly. Are you making it up to golly?
You know, I'll probably make it up.
Okay. You taking the antics too?
What's that?
You taking the antics too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so what's, now that I got you on here, what's dropping new from Jackson? What are we going to see? A new rock star? That's what I heard. New rock star?
Honestly, I have no idea. I have no idea. I know of a few things, and we're always working on stuff. There's always stuff going on, but like really, you know,
I haven't seen anything. I just heard there was a new rock star, and I was like, well, we need rock star 12.7, I guess. You know, lift the edges an eighth inch, and there you go. You got a new boat.
It's about time, but I gotta say, you know, here's my thing. I am really curious how we start improving on these designs.
Dude, every time I think that we've reached a pinnacle where you can't really go much farther, I paddle a boat like the Scorch X. Right. And then I'm like, wow, it just wowed me. It takes a lot for me to kind of like see a design evolution. And I think the Scorch X nailed it. So good job on Piranha, you know, and, you know, with Waka brought us the high rockered planing surfaces. We hadn't seen that much, especially here in the United States. But we haven't seen that high planing surface. And I think Waka did good at that. And that kind of like changed the game, what, like 5 years ago?
Something like that. And I think the industry was slow to keep up.
Yeah. I mean, and now like look at it now. Right. Look at it now. It's kind of like, this is a really good time to be a kayaker. Cause think of how many good, they're all really good. I do boat reviews and I'm like, wow. And it's like, oh, you just think everything's good. I'm like, well, dude, everything really is really good. It's, I have to really dig to find a negative. And I'm like, there's not much negative. They're all really good now.
But I agree with you. But the thing is, I love your reviews because you literally just say exactly what you're thinking.
Yeah, like on the spot.
I have conversations later and we're like, you know, I'm like, I saw that review.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Like, not many boats, like, I'm running out of boats. I want to go back and review more of the older designs. It's kind of like maybe I didn't appreciate them as much in the past. You know what right. I'm saying? Like, you I just do. Mentioned the Super Sport. And I was a different paddler when I was paddling back then. And I think the Super Sport was kind of like the perception's answer to the RPM. And I'd love to get, like, in a Super Sport and see if I can really throw it around and see kind of like, I think it was Bob McDonald. I think he was the designer at the time for perception. And I'd love to go back and try some of those classic designs and see how, and do reviews on those. It's hard, but the problem is obviously it's hard to find them. It's hard to find one that's in good shape or someone that will let you use it. I'm not going to go out and buy all these damn old school boats and I'm going to paddle once.
No, but I think that's the,
so everybody, Boyd had to move in because, it was getting dark on him. He's probably getting eaten by mosquitoes probably. And he didn't want to admit it. He has a high threshold for pain. If you guys just heard his story. So mosquito can't do shit to him.
You know, the mosquitoes were getting bad, but that cicada was,
I could hear it. I could hear it a little bit. What about putting a knife on the front of your vest? Do you run like a big, huge knife on the front of your vest?
I don't like to run anything big on the front of my vest or anywhere on my vest. Really. Well, I like it all streamlined and small. Knives. The big thing about a knife,
what's your primary use for a knife?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know what I mean? Like, threatening.
Me too.
I'm not really.
Cutting
up an orange, making sandwiches by the river. That's the, you know, 9 times out of 10, that's what you're using the knife. Yeah.
But I know, I get it. It's that one time that you cut a throw rope off a dude's neck.
You know, fishing line sometimes. I might find a fishing line and I cut it or something like that. I've had to cut a rope in a rescue.
Yeah.
So I've used a knife for that.
What kind of knife do you have? What kind of knife you carry?
The one I have is one of the Stolquist dive knives. Okay. But I like Benchmade. Benchmade's my favorite.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I'll just carry a Benchmade pocket knife.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, or something like that. But it really depends on what I'm doing.
Yeah. Okay.
The dive knife is nice because it has a hook knife. But
yeah, almost like a seatbelt color is what you're saying. Right. Yeah, like it's got a blade that you can slide across webbing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's got that, and then it's got the serrated edge, and then it's got a little bit of smooth edge.
Okay.
So you can kind of, like, use what you need.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have, but the thing is, and I guess this is my argument for all of these things that, you know, and I'll say this because you took way too much heat. You know, it's
– bring it on.
People need to hear this.
I got a good tan from this. You can't see it in this skull lining in here.
People need to hear this, is that – it may seem like you need to cut yourself out of a boat or cut somebody out of a boat or use a tow tether mm-hmm. all the time to tow your friends and you get mm-hmm. it efficiently. And it seems better when it works. But the truth is a lot of the more experienced people, actually everybody who's more experienced that I know, just has reached a conclusion that these things are better if you just give yourself time to think about them. You know, give yourself time to think about what
assessing the situation, like really like focusing and assessing the situation, not just going chaotically and just like going crazy. You could cause more damage. I could see that.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I've watched, you know, a really high quality, great paddler, you
Dane
know,
Jackson.
not even thinking, reach and clip onto a boat and then go off a rapid upside backwards, getting towed by a boat full of water.
That's insane. Yeah. For what?
You know, and
for what? Really? For what?
For a piece of plastic, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, the paddler's already safe on the bank and you're locking into a kayak.
How many of us are really towing people with these?
That was one argument. It's like, oh, well, I have a tow tether. I could lock onto an unconscious victim. I'm like, come on.
If you're constantly, or even if you can name twice where you've towed an unconscious, maybe even once where you've had to tow an unconscious victim, I mean, that'll happen.
That is, I think, but then think you know, about, the real statistic is how many people have drowned by misusing those, like hooking them on. Because my biggest thing about making that video about the tow tether was the improper use of it. Wasn't necessarily don't use it. It was hooking it on your shoulder strap, hooking it on your webbing strap on the side, and you'll never be able to release it. That was my biggest reason for that.
Yeah. And I got it. I mean, there were rapids where I used one in Chile, but the thing is, like, the lanyard or the sling that I have with two carabiners that I keep in my pocket, it is one extra clip. I literally reach around, grab my O-ring, lock it on, lock onto the
thing. It's so easy. Yeah. It's really, I can do it super fast.
And if I don't have time.
What kind of vest do you run right now?
Right now I'm using the Descent. I like it.
The Stokeless Descent.
The Stokeless Descent.
Okay. You know, have you used any of the Kokatak vests or green jackets?
My girlfriend has the Kokatak vest. I like it.
What do you think about that? It's the Hustler. So I just recently got the Hustler rescue vest. I'm really liking that vest a lot. There will be a review video coming. Yeah. I really like that vest a lot.
I'm curious about it. I'm interested in these vests too.
One of the best features that I'd found on that Stokos vest was right here where that front pocket is, has a gap behind it. I keep my sling in there.
I like that's yeah.
Dude, so I can get my sling. It's not attached to anything, but it's stuck down in there. And I reach in, grab that carabiner, and I could pull that sling out. And I've got a 8-foot sling, 6-foot sling that I could wrap around a tree for as an anchor, or clip into a kayak or clip into something on my back.
I've got where I take one of the carabiners and stick a stick through it and wedge it between some rocks and put a rock on top of it while it's clipped to my boat, because I had no way else to clip my boat to anything. So
that's such a good use for a sling where a tow tether doesn't do that for you. So I've got out, and you've probably done this too. If I have to get out in a sketchy situation, let's say I need to get out in the middle of a rapid, right in the center.
Oh yeah.
I'll eddy out behind a rock. I pull my sling out, lock into the bow grab loop, and I hold that sling while I'm climbing up on the rock. You'd never do that with a tow tether.
You can't do it.
So now it's like, oh, well, I'll just carry. It's like now I'm carrying two things on me. I'm carrying a sling and a tow tether. It's like, no, that sling is also I'll hook into a boat and get out on the rock.
The bungee just solves the whole static thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no benefit to having the extra spring. Yeah.
It's really good for portaging too. It gives you, because who wants to? I don't like using my throw rope a lot for portaging, and unless it's really long, I'll like hook that the sling in, and I lower my boat in, pull it up, because I don't like pulling my throw rope around a lot on, and people walking on it and pulling across rocks and all that. What's your opinion of full faced helmets? I don't think I've seen many videos with you with a full face on. I'm curious about what's your video. Like, what's your opinion of a full face?
The one time.
You probably do have one. You probably have one hanging on your wall.
The one time I ever used one. I actually don't have one. But the one time I ever used one, I legitimately used it. I would have.
It served its purpose.
It served its purpose.
Really?
The one time I ever used it. But it beat through, like, that beat down. You know White Oak Falls?
Oh, you ran that White Oak Falls? That is mank fast.
I used to lap it. I was bored, and I used
That needs a lot of water to get that going, dude.
Man, you can run it like with nothing.
Are you serious?
Can run it. Yeah, you can run it.
Well, here's another Southeast paddler finding the line. But yeah,
you can run it all the time.
I disagree, but you ran far left. I bet, right? You ran far left into the pool
more than 100 times.
I've scouted it. Yeah,
and it's
I've looked at it. It just looks way too manky. I'm like, man, a good flood stage out here, that'd probably go. You're saying you've run it like very low.
Oh, easily 100 times. Easily. I have stayed there for an entire day and just done laps on it.
Yeah.
So
how did the full face help you there?
And went off the bottom drop upside down. And every single rock on that thing is.
I know. It looks brutal.
And it just is like a fist punching you over and over. And it broke both my elbow pads. It left a scar on my elbow.
What kind of elbow pad do you have, by the way?
At that time I had like old school Stokquist pads.
I know what you don't know.
But I used the Fox Titan Pro.
So I'm guessing since you said it was a while back, I'm guessing it was a Shred Ready, right? Or was it an FN? What is it? The NAR? What?
Oh, it was, man. It was like, I think it was an Arkansas. It was an Arkansas company. Third Point Helmets, I think by, you remember Third Point?
No, I would probably recognize them if I've seen them.
I'm having a
moment. Was it composite though? It wasn't plastic. That makes sense. Yeah, because like Grateful Heads and all those guys, they made, you know, I know your BFF, Clay Wright, he used to wear a helmet with a gnar bar is what he called it, right in the middle. And I think that was like F&R or something. It was like a company. They made really solid composites helmet. The problem with these old school helmets, what a lot of people don't understand is they don't take impacts. The impact energy, they just use mini cell foam. Like you look at like a rocker or like a sweets helmet, they use foam that can take hits and not give you concussions. So those old school helmets might look robust and tough, but they're really not. I remember getting hit and my bell would get that bell would, and that white light, you're like, oh God, you took a hit so hard that it almost knocks you out.
You saw my Green Ray swim, right?
Oh, you want to bring that up? I wasn't going to bring that up.
Hey, man, you might as well bring it up. That's my claim.
I'll bring it up. Yeah, it was at Gorilla, right?
Yeah.
Well, oh, you made the Carnage Reel pretty good. For all of you guys that don't know, what was that, 2017?
It's something like that.
2016? Boyd, you know, he's been charging hard, and, you know, he definitely run Gorilla 100 times. But, you know, as anyone that knows that runs the Green Race, you come into that with a lot of energy deprived. You know, Russ Sturgis got his ass kicked out there. A lot of high-level paddlers get their ass kicked at the Green Race. Well, Boyd swam at the Green Race at Gorilla, right? So go ahead. Tell us about your Gorilla swim. I got to hear. I want
to
hear it first.
It relates to the helmet.
Some piece of shit full face. That's probably why you swam, because it probably moved around on you, couldn't see.
Oh no, here's what happened, and this is also my fault. And I actually was really upset that I didn't have an opportunity to train. I was kind of pissed off. And I was like,
yeah, I didn't see you out there much because I was training hard that year, and I never seen you come down.
No, man.
No, you just did maybe a couple of laps, right?
I'm not even.
Well, there you go. This is one of these dudes that gets off the couch and be like, hey, I've run the green. I'm fine. Let me grab my Karma UL and get my ass kicked.
I hadn't paddled my Karma Unlimited, my longboat, since the previous Green Race. I had just given myself a concussion before the Green Race.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know. I knocked myself out in a parking lot at the grocery store.
Oh, geez. Listen to this guy. Were you trying to steal some old lady's, like,
I had
cucumbers or something?
Up in my head. Staples.
So not only are you going in with a concussion,
You're
going into like one of the hardest races to do well. And what a lot of people don't understand about the green, I've got a whole kind of episode where I can go on about the green. Cause with guys like you that know the green, they're like, oh, I paddle there. I was like, there's difference in just paddling the green than racing the green in a longboat. So yeah, go ahead with your story. Get up to the swim. I got to hear about this.
Oh man. I had a great race until that moment.
You were killing it.
I was like
right at Gorilla.
I was like, this is awesome. Hot left, man, was clean.
Okay, that's hard to do for people that don't know hot left. That's hard to clean that.
I was feeling good because I had just cleaned my way through both the hot left and Zwicks.
Okay.
And the race lines and everything. So to me, like, that's kind of the crux, right? The crux is really
pretty much. Yeah, you're right.
And then into Zwicks, which is fine. Zwicks is fine, but you just don't want to get carried left. Yeah. You want to make sure you nail the race line through cheap. And it was great, man. It was awesome. I made the decision, instead of doing like the flying squirrel side or whatever, I made the decision to go over the pad.
Like center booth, baby. All good paddlers go center booth. Nobody does that gas pedal shit. Well,
it got too low for it.
That was probably that year where I think it was like 8 or 9 inches. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to break it down for the listeners here, there's three lines at Flying Squirrel. You have Flying Squirrel line, actually four counting Flying Squirrel, gas pedal, center booth, or like I always run that center booth. I love the way it lines me up. And then there's a pencil sharpener far right. So you ran center booth right off the pad. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we'll take it from there. As soon as you landed, were you like, did you deuce the camera? That's what I try to do.
You know, man, I actually landed on my head.
You boofed and then flipped in the air.
I caught a rock. I caught part of the rock because it was so
shallow.
It's an
offset. So there's an offset rock in there. You might have fell in that gap. Oh, boy. This is fun.
I caught an edge while I was, trying to work off of it. Fell through the gap off of the thing, flat.
Were you tired?
I was, of course, yeah. I mean,
you better be tired or you didn't paddle hard enough.
You haven't been racing if you're not tired by then. Right?
You better be gassed. You just hope nothing goes wrong. So it went wrong for you. But you're like, okay, I rolled. No big deal. Just roll up.
Oh, but that was the thing, man. I landed on the rocks head first.
Okay.
And I already had a concussion. I was already tired.
You had your full face on.
And no. Okay.
You had your toe tether, your full face.
Toe tether too, right? My high and dry.
Well, we won't go there with the high and dry. But yeah, so you rolled over, you popped up. Did you roll back before the notch?
No. Actually, I was thoroughly concussed and I was confused and dazed and dizzy and really like not feeling it because I had the staples in my head on top of it. Mm-hmm. But also I was wearing my Grateful Heads helmet. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember Grateful Heads. They look beautiful.
I loved those guys, man.
Aesthetically, they're awesome. Protection wise, I'll argue that with you.
It was old. You know, on top of it all, like I'd had this helmet like 10 years, right? Or something, like way too long.
Was it, and why would you not be in a rocker? Or like,
you know, that is a valid question. That is a valid question, but you could ask a lot of other questions to go with it, right? Yeah. Like, you know, we kind of get used to what we can get away with.
That's true. Yeah.
Back together.
Well, you were, I mean, was it sparkly? Was your great
sparkly? It was like it had been my helmet.
And you knew you were in a green race. There was going to be a lot of footage and pictures of you. Yeah. You wanted to look good. No kid, Dad.
No, and I was like, it's my helmet. I'm going to wear that one. I had this brilliant idea, man. I had this brilliant plan in my concussed state when I realized that I was too dizzy to roll. And it's kind of like drunk logic, right? My idea was, all right, I can pop up on the notch and I'll swim out into the notch. I feel like I'm going into the notch. I'll swim into the eddy.
So you thought about you, where did you pull the skirt right before the notch?
Yeah. And it was because I was so concussed. Like I couldn't even figure out my paddle and think through it. And I was just like, I was really dazed and
confused. Yeah.
And it was not good. I didn't want to land on my head again. You know, I was like, if I'm this confused, like going through the notch,
it's not
going
to be good if you take another shot. Yeah, you could go unconscious. Yeah, easily.
I was like, I could, you know, something can happen to me. I could die if I take another hit to the head.
Well, it's a green race. Yeah. You would have had 5,000 people save you. You'd be okay.
I'd be all right, right? They'd jump on top of me.
You'd be fine. I'm not saying you wouldn't be hurt.
Still make the highlight reel. Still
you made the highlight reel anyway, buddy. I hate to break that to you.
Man, I popped up. There's a great photo of me looking a little terrified. And concussed. I'm thoroughly concussed. But I swam on the wrong side because I was thinking upright and not upside down.
So coming into the notch, you're on the left side of the boat.
Yeah.
Big no-no. You knew it. It's funny. Side. Ain't it funny, like, when things like that are going wrong, our perception of time and space slows down and how we look at things and be like, well, okay.
The only thing I could think of was I grabbed my boat and I tried to use it to get to pendulum myself into the eddy and then do a backstroke into the eddy.
Yeah.
Thank God it worked. And I ended up in
the eddy. Yeah, because you didn't swim the falls. Yeah, you didn't swim the falls that year.
No, I was able to, like, the boil was able to catch my boat and I thought it would. I pushed.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good is what they say, right?
There was a lot of luck involved.
Yeah.
There was a whole lot of luck involved. Because even though I was like trying to think it through, it was.
Now, so now that you're on the green race, so when did you, when was your last green race?
That was my last green race.
That was, well, it's good to end.
I just haven't been able to train since then.
And that's a thing for what a lot of people don't understand about the green is it's not really like that hard of a race, in my opinion. It's just, getting to know when to push and pull and learning the lines, because when things go bad, they go, as Boyd just mentioned, they go really bad, don't they? And a lot of pilots, when it's going great, it goes great.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the crazy thing is that people think, oh, well, I can paddle everything. I paddle the big three and I style them every time. But if you're styling them every time individually, you're not probably ready for the green race, you know?
No. Like, you need to, I always tell paddlers that are trying to like do the green race. They're like, hey, can I do this? I was like, go race it. Like race it in your practice laps. Yeah. Oh, we always stop below go left and kind of regather everything.
None of that.
Then we stop at Zwick's. Then we run Chiefs. I was like, are you doing that in the race? Do you see marathon runners going around the track and be like, I'm going to stop halfway. I know I'm running a 5K, but I'm going to stop right here and take a break. And then
I'm going to sprint the corner, and then I'm going to take a break, do a sprint.
And kind of gather my senses. I was like, it ain't going to happen. Are you going to do that in a race? It's like, probably not. I was is fine. Like I said, like, if you're just going to go down and you're just there to participate and you're going to eddy out, blow, go left, chill out, and you're just there to participate, that's fine. You'll put down a 9-minute lap. That's cool. But if you're going to start linking them together, then you'll realize that it's a little different. It's a little different animal. It's like, I feel I could race a lot of races with no prep at all, but there's one thing where I need to dial in the lines is the green race. Yeah.
I was amazed, man, honestly, that I made it down to Gorilla without having any real problems. It was, I styled everything.
You cleaned everything upstream.
The move that I messed up was like something I wouldn't have even thought about. You know,
yeah,
like,
you'd probably not even thought about, oh, I might screw, I need to work on this line at Flying Squirrel.
I would never think that I would miss a move.
I think I talked to you that, and you were a little concerned about the hot left, right? That was where, and you styled it.
Styled the shit out of hot left. I was like, well,
which is
good.
Like I said, and a lot of paddlers, you know, even like last year, I was out there and Evan Garcia was out there and he was like trying to get the concept of hot left. And it's not, it's a different style. And to get that line correct is really hard.
It's Southeast style is different because all our rivers are pretty shallow. But then also those moves individually are just their own moves. So yeah. Somebody can come from anywhere else. It doesn't matter how good they are. They might not have a good day if they don't have a chance to train.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And I get it. But guys like, you know, Isaac Levenston and guys like that, they'll come over, Eric DeGill, but they always get here 2 or 3 weeks early, what people don't see.
Oh, yeah.
And they train every freaking day. So while you're
not
at work,
like one lap a day.
No, no, you're right. We're talking 3 to 4 laps a day and sometimes getting out. I was out there and Dane and Isaac Hall last year ran go left. I swear, dude, they ran them 10 times.
The line you're scared of, you run it over and over again.
Yeah, into that muscle memory. And I was like, yeah. Dane pulls a RV up in the parking lot and camps there for weeks. And I was like, he didn't show up that morning.
No.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, given that he's a great paddler, he could probably still pull it off. But it's like, it's just not, it's not something that you could just like show up and say, oh, I'll be fine. Yeah, I'll be fine. I've ran this before.
People underestimate it. You know, they see the show. And honestly, the green race is that show. Like if we can do anything in the Olympics, like it needs to be a green race.
Oh, that'd be funny.
And that yeah,
John Grace would love that.
That.
It was kind of, you know, it was kind of cool with the live stream this year. You know, I had a lot of people hit me up and I didn't. And dude, last year, 2020 was like during all the kind of lockdown and all that. So you're talking to somebody that didn't race or I wasn't even having racing in my mind. And then when I heard it was going to be live stream, I was like, oh, I'm doing it. I said, if nothing else, you know what I'm going to do, dude? I'm going to go out there and fucking rudder the whole race. I was just going to rudder down it.
Worked really well.
Yeah. And it actually worked. I never wrote because I slowed down.
Hey,
yeah.
You know, smooth is fast. And
there you go.
You know,
smooth is fast and fast is smooth, baby.
That's it, man. Yeah.
What do you got going on this year? You got any traveling going on? Okay. You got something coming up? Am I going to see you in Moscow at the Kremlin? You and Eric Snowden going out and getting a lap in somewhere out there?
You know, man, if somebody wanted to do a trip to Russia, I am curious.
If anybody would end up in Russia, I could see you doing that. You might not return.
It is a scary proposition to me. I
think Anil did it too. I think Anil had like some pioneers, some runs out there, right?
I just don't know anything about that country, really.
The language barrier, the travel and all that.
There's a culture barrier too.
Yeah, they're not very favorable of Americans. If there's any Russians watching this, let me know.
I smile too much, man. They did have me dialed in a heartbeat. They'd be like, you're an American.
They look pissed off out there, don't they? It's always looked cold. It always looks dull and cold and like they're mad about something.
I got to figure out where I want to go, man. I think this is, you know, and I don't know that I want to say this, but I don't know that it's the right year to go to Africa. You know,
the Zambezi.
I'm in love with that place.
It looks awesome. It looks awesome. It's one of those trips where I could see myself taking, but it's not a cheap trip, right? It's not the airfare and getting your boat out there.
Actually paddling the Zambezi is expensive. That's what a lot of people don't realize.
What do you mean paddling? Oh, explain this.
You gotta pay something like, you know, $35 or $45 a day.
Now wait a minute. So is it like when I see African money, it could be like $1 billion a bill or something. How's their currency there?
So it's in Kwacha. It's in Kwacha, yeah. And Kwacha is like, I mean, it's, you know, I think like what, 5,000 Kwacha is like
$1.
Yeah, I don't remember.
That's awesome.
I don't really remember.
So I could have like $100 and I'd have like 500 grand.
It's weird though, man. You end up spending more than you think because there's a gringo tax, right? Or a Mzungu tax.
Mm-hmm, the gringo tax, yeah. What do they call you? The Mzumbo?
They call you a Mzungu.
Mzungu.
And yeah, you're a white person. And so there's a white person.
You got a tax?
Pretty much. When you go to the park to put in on the Zambezi, and it doesn't matter if you go Zim side or Zam side, so Zambia or Zimbabwe, you're going to have to pay. It's like $35 or $45 a day, no matter what.
Ouch.
Just to get into the park, just to get to the, and if you go to a company like Safpar, you know, they'll tack it on and give you lunch and pay the porter and help you out. And they'll do a bunch of other stuff. So definitely like they're the ones to go through, but like, it's worth it, but you end up spending a lot. I think the part that most people.
So a month probably set you back about 20 grand. High roller.
Man, I got a deal at Jolly Boys, but it was, I think I paid, it was silly. It was like, I think I paid like $6 a night or something.
That's pretty good.
And I had like every third night free.
Yeah, you probably got malaria.
And I got eaten alive, but it was like, it really wasn't that much, but you do end up spending some money.
I could see that. That was the only thing that kind of deterred me. It's like, it looks great, but it looks like it's not the cheapest of trips. Like it looks very expensive.
It's so worth it. And with the dam pending, like I think everybody should go. But people think that you need to be really, really good to go there.
It's big water, right? It's just a big water.
It's huge water. But the truth is, like, you know, the whole time when we were on it, like we were trying to come up with, I was talking to a guy named Rue that, you know, lives there and works there. And the only thing we could come up with for a prereq is that you need kind of like big lungs and a reluctance to swim.
Okay.
You know, a good roll, big lungs, and a reluctance to swim.
Well, there you go.
If you have those three things, you're probably going to be okay. So as long as your roll is solid and you're not going to swim.
And can and you can hold your breath long enough to like maybe getting worked in something. Yeah.
But there's a safety raft that goes down with you. You have to go down with the raft group.
Is that the like the rules?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's they pull you. You don't go to the bank if somebody swims. You go to the safety raft because there could be crocodiles.
Did you swim down there?
No.
Wow, no swims in Africa. Wow, yeah, the green race takes him out.
So the
pad at Flying Squirrel takes him out and he styles the Zambezi. What's the waterfall? Like Devil's Dip or what is the waterfall where you take everybody takes a selfie at the top of the waterfall?
Oh, the Devil's
Victoria
Pool,
Falls.
But it's Victoria Falls.
Yeah, it's Devil's Pool, right? Not Devil's Dip. So it's Devil's Pool. And if for anybody that doesn't know, you know, one of the kind of like, you know, Instagrammy things to do that all these guys do, you have to take a picture at Devil's Pool on Victoria Falls because you're like really close to the lip, right?
Oh, you're on the, you can hang over the lip.
Yeah. It looks sketch. And that thing is massive.
It feels sketchy too, but it's the rock's so grabby that you're not really going to go anywhere.
Yeah. What is the rock geology there? Do you know?
I think it was all igneous rock. All of it's volcanic.
Yeah, it's all like that volcanic rock, so it's super grippy.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else really there. It just seemed like it was all volcanic and iron.
And it's all rain-fed, right? It's all just rain-fed.
Water's warm. There's a lot of life in the water. There's a lot of life around the river.
It's, a lot of bacteria. A lot of crocodiles. Any crocodiles?
Yeah, probably. Man, I did a stern squirt into a crocodile.
You stern squirted a crocodile head.
I totally tried to. I didn't quite completely stern squirt.
Did you get that on video? That I would love to see. Someone splatting a crocodile.
I didn't get it on video. But I hit it with my paddle. I was doing a stern squirt, and then I hit it with my boat, and then I hit it with my paddle when I was braced. It hit its back, and it just tail was sloshed, and it just like
dove down underneath
me. Its checkered tail was just like sloshing back and forth as it.
Because they're aggressive, right? They're aggressive. What
They're pretty chill. They leave you alone.
Well, none of your sterns hurting on their damn head. I wouldn't.
Yeah, he was scared, man. I scared him. I don't know what he was doing. I guess he was just hanging, but maybe hoping I would just like dangle a finger or something.
Get a little. Yeah, I'd be way more worried than crocs than are crocodiles over sharks any day.
This is cool though, man. What I heard, and what the locals told me, and what I saw firsthand was that the only way into the Batoka Gorge is for the crocodiles to fall off Victoria Falls.
You are freaking kidding me. So you're telling me they sin. So they go watch a sin school video and they sin.
And they go send it.
They sin off of Victoria Falls, which is like what? Like 180, 90? What is?
I think it's like 300 and something feet. Like it's tall. It's big.
Dude, I would love to see that, to be down in like below the falls and just see a croc waving his tail. And what would be cool if he styles it and he does a perfect kind of organ tuck right down it.
It's the little ones. Like all the big ones, because a big falls lands on rocks. Like it lands on. So the only ones that survive are the babies. And the big ones.
Yeah.
And so the babies of all the crocs you see in the Batoka Gorge survived a fall over Victoria.
Wow. that would be awesome. Did you see them at the lip when you were at the lip of the falls in your little devil's bathing suit?
They can
you're
be
out
in there. They can, you see them on the way. You see hippos up there, but there's no hippos in the Batoka Gorge because they're too heavy.
Now they're very aggressive, right? Towards humans.
But they die if they fall off big falls. So
for sure. They're like a ton or something. Yeah. Did you see them while you were paddling?
No, because they're in the Batoka Gorge. They're just not there. And you just
see any tigers or lions?
I saw some lions. Yeah.
You could dye your hair and probably even be the Tiger King.
Man, I could work for it right now.
This dude, for everybody listening, he's got like some kind of half ass. You know, I guess it's like some sort of mullet. If you'd shave that side, you could easily be the Tiger King.
You know, it's funny is I just stopped cutting it. Yeah. it's still shorter here. Look
at that. You need to put it in a man bun.
It fits. It works as a man bun. And I am a little warm, but it does go up.
Yeah. Well, winter's coming. Winter's coming. So you don't really have any plans for the winter this year to go anywhere? Are you just going to kind of chill out?
I'm looking at a couple of ideas. I got a few things in mind, though.
You ever been to Norway or over that way?
Norway is one of those things.
That's been on my hit list for a while.
We need to go to Norway, man.
Might be worth it, yeah.
We could do Norway.
Season's kind of gone right now, right?
Yeah, we would need to do it this time next year.
Yeah. It's been on my hit list for a while. I mean, I've been wanting to get over there.
New Zealand.
That's another good one. New Zealand's been on my hit list for a while. Australia, New Zealand, but man, they're on lockdown. You ain't getting your ass in New Zealand.
There's a lot.
There ain't nobody getting there. Are you planning any races this year? Are you planning on racing anything? Russell Ford?
That's a good question. I need to think about that because I need to train if I am. I've been mostly focusing on Zen School.
What videos have you been working on? Let's look real quick. I'm looking. I'm going to look you up real quick. Right here.
I've got a couple I'm about to upload that I'm.
But you haven't put out anything in a while. I'm looking at your channel here. So I just pulled up Boyd's channel on YouTube, Sin School Kayaking. So if you guys type in Sin School Kayak, it'll pull up his channel. You only have like 1, 2, 3, 4. You only have like 6 or 7 videos.
Yeah.
But they're really good videos. You've done a good job. And the last one you did was every kayaker needs to see this. And I think it was more about your ear stuff, right?
Yeah, that was the ear surgery. And every kayaker does need to see that one.
Yeah. So if you guys want, go over and check out his channel with the, this is avoidable, and it's every kayaker needs to see this. And I think it's about surfer's ear and not wearing earplugs, but let's be honest. You're a surfer too, dude. You got that from surfing. That wasn't so much from kayaking.
You know, the funny thing is I started surfing after.
Yeah, but the surfing's probably what took you out.
It probably clogged
your ears up.
Even Dr. Hetzler said it should be called kayaker's ear. He's seen it boring.
Really? Kayaking. No way. I don't believe that. Yeah. Well, yeah, surfers probably just don't care because they're all so baked out there. They don't care anyway. Well, kayakers are baked either.
He said our water's warmer or colder and that, we can spend more time on it. I think my surfer's ear would have been worse if I were a playboy.
I think we get more water jammed on our ears than surfers because you're right. They do fall off, but then they turn and face the current. We get it from all different sides. It just comes. I mean, I always, I keep, I've always had my ear flaps on my Sweets helmet, so it helped a lot.
Here's what I'm working on right now.
Okay.
Tell me what you think about this.
Tell me what's coming up. What's coming up? So this is going firsthand right here. We're going to hear what Sin School is about to drop. So you guys better be ready.
Literally what I'm working on at the moment. I'm working on an intro to Waterfalls.
Okay.
Because I just want to. I need to do a fun one. I've done some serious ones. I need to do some fun ones. So intro to Waterfalls. I'm going to do How to Punch Holes.
That's always a classic. A lot of people want to know that about stroke.
I'm going to add a dimension, though, because people need to know how to get out of a hole.
I tried to do that, and it was really hard to film it from GoPro, but you need a third person of that.
I really do. I need a third. I've got some videos of me, you know, just getting thrashed around in holes.
But from head cam, it looks just bubbles everywhere.
I know. Good. So that's the.
Tell me. So explain it. Explain it right here on video. How would you? So let's say this is not a ledge hole. This is more just like a big hydraulic. How would you get out of this? And you're in a creek boat.
All right. So if I'm in a creek boat and it's big.
Okay.
If I'm in a creek boat and it's big, I'm looking at where the water's going. Where's the water going? If it's a big round hole and I can't get to the edges.
We're going to say it's a horseshoe. We're just for demonstration. It's a horseshoe hole and it's big in the middle with high sidewalls.
With high sidewalls?
Yeah, they're very high.
Okay. Well, in that case, typically my go-to is catch as much water as I can.
Okay.
It is all about going into full on backwards, ridiculous rodeo mode. And trying to grab as much water as possible. And then you have to be opportunistic, you know. It's all about opportunity. It's like you're waiting to create the opportunity where you're on top in the right spot.
On the boil.
You
might bounce a lot. You might bounce a lot, but you're going to catch that one bounce, roll, or catch an outflow. Okay.
And it's just looking for that moment, that spot.
Have you ever tried one thing that I had found works for me, especially in like creek boats, is I'll, like you said, you'll find myself getting up on the boil and I'll go for a loop or a backstab. And and if it's big enough where it loops me and I'm getting work, I might start thinking of pulling a spray skirt at that point. But it's like I'll plug my bow and try to like use that momentum to blow me out of those horseshoe top holes. But normally I try to work for the left or right of the hole. Well, you know, I'm interested to see this video you put out.
I'm really excited about that one. And I think the other one I think this one's going to be popular. I think I'm curious. Tell me what you think about it. I want to know what you think.
Okay.
Mental training for kayaking.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about like psyching yourself up.
Thinking about like, how do we approach things mentally? Kayaking is the biggest mental challenge we take on.
On that concept that you're talking about is when to know when to walk a rapid or run a rapid. And that question gets asked, and I'm sure people have asked you, Hey boy, do you think I can run this? And I'm like, we know. And it's funny because I wanted to talk about this and maybe you could clarify some of this. We know our skill set. When I look at a rapid and I evaluate a rapid, so let's say me and you are paddling together, right? We come up on a hard class five. We're like, okay, we want to scout this one. I can look at it and you're like, all right, dude, I'm ready. I found my line. And then I'm looking and what I know my skill set. And even though you might be able to make it through it and you're like, okay, man, what I'm going to do, I'm going to lean boof, drop my paddle down and pull a hard stroke and come off the wall. And if I mentally tell myself, I don't think I can make that move. I look at number two and I'm like, okay, is there another line? They're like, no, you have to run it on that right wall or you'll get pinned in that hole or whatever. And I'm like,
right.
Yeah. So I know my skill set and I know when I can run something. And I look at a move, even though you might stall it, I might still walk it. And I've got no shame in that. And I always tell people there's no shame in just saying I don't think I can make that move, that top move. But then after that, and I'm like, I'm not going to risk it. And risk versus reward.
You know, sometimes you just have the heebie-jeebies and you're like, well, you know, I know I can make the move, but maybe it's not today.
That's true. That is true. I've been to rapids I've ran before and said that.
Yeah. I mean, you got to trust that sense. But for me, it's all about, you know, looking at a rapid. I start.
And that's a mental thing, right?
Oh, completely. Yeah. You have to know yourself well enough to know, like, is this just the normal nervousness and fear that I have? Or is this like something different? Yeah, when I was sitting alone, I sat alone above Demshits waterfall for a while.
Oh yeah, and for people that don't know, Demshits is a kind of like a rapid that doesn't get much. Was that on the Diora? What rapid?
It's runs on the Novatos.
The Novatos, and it's a stout. Yeah. It's got a stout lead in to like a 60-70 footer, but it's a very stout lead in.
It's stout. It's actually, that's a waterfall that I never wanted to run. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so you found the drop. You're like, okay, I know I can make that drop, and just prepare for the tuck there.
Yeah. And then I flowed.
That's the mental thing. Yeah.
But there is a lot of work.
Well, you were in a Jackson Z3 and nobody rolls those anyway. But anyway.
I mean, it did resurface upright.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure you did. Did you, when you were coming off, did you do the Oregon tuck or do you do paddle toss?
Neither. I guess I did Oregon tuck. I was thinking you said Washington tuck for a moment.
Yeah, Washington tuck, for people that don't know, Washington tuck's the paddle under the arm, and it helps protect the show. Oregon tuck's like lean on, plant a blade on the side of the boat and lean forward, which is probably the best. What's below that? Well, and the reason why would you not throw your paddle there?
Immediately below it is another drop. And that drop goes into a 5+ gorge or class 5 gorge that
you would not want to go that with no paddle.
Yeah, and there's very little eddy. Like, there's a pool right there, but there's not a lot of space. So you'd better to keep your paddle.
there's not a lot. I've not been there, but I've seen videos and I've watched videos, and I think I've seen. Did you post that video somewhere?
I did. Yeah,
I think I've seen your video of it too, and I'll try to put a picture up. But it's like there's not a big gap at the bottom. And that's what made me think, because I don't see a lot of people doing the paddle toss there. They seem to want to hold on to their paddle and tuck.
Yeah, it's well, because you're dealing with reconnects the whole way down.
It's not a complete vert. Yeah, that's true. It's not vertical like that.
It was so clean.
You probably had a damn 200 mil happy seat in there, right?
Dude, I didn't. It was like.
You have a happy seat? Do you run a happy seat?
I do. Yeah, I run a happy seat.
That makes sense.
150 bean.
150. Yeah, there's 150 bean and 200 bean.
There's 100, 150, and 200. Yeah. And it was a 150 bean. But
I said mil. I meant to say beans. Are you talking more about like running rapids, or when you say the mental aspect, what do you mean?
Well, so think about it. Like, where do you feel the most scared when you're kayaking? How do you deal with fear?
It's weird. I don't really get afraid a lot anymore. I get nervous. But what I experience is not fear in my eyes. But I mean, I'm a little. We're all different, right? Yeah. And I get nervous to run something, but it's not fear. I don't say I'm afraid. I'm like, man, if I'm afraid, I'm probably not going to run the rapid.
Yeah. Man, I was terrified above them shit. So I was like, oh, I'm scared.
Yeah, it's weird. And like I said, like not to say that I'm not afraid of anything, because I get nervous. Yeah. Like I get these nervous jitters, but then I block it out and I just run it.
You know, I'll tell you, fear for me shows up when I feel like I haven't prepared very well. Man, I am, I'm going to do another video. I'm going to do another video. Now, this is one I bet you probably, I want to know what you think about this video.
Okay.
I'm curious about this. I want to do a video. People ask me to do rolling videos all the time.
God, there's so many.
There's so many rolling videos.
So many.
All right. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to do a rolling video for instructors.
Okay. You're going to do a rolling video on how to teach rolling.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that I may just do a video for instructors.
Okay.
One that's specific.
And this is going to be on your channel, right?
Yeah, it'll be on the channel.
Okay.
It'll be on Zen School. And the idea is, you know, instructors a lot of times get caught in their own language, for example. Here's an example. Mm-hmm. And they're like, if all you have is a hammer, all you got is a nail, right? And just because another instructor uses screwdriver language, you know, this person is like, you know, that they're both teaching gets confused. And if there were a way to really look at, to get instructors to really look at the real core issues behind things.
Yeah.
You know, or if there were a video to really teach people how to teach instructors some of the foundational things that they might not know. I mean, there's a lot of instructors that don't know, like head. When you're rolling, lifting your head up, right? Like,
yeah,
can you roll your head up?
I mean, I can, but I don't know.
I can too.
Yeah, like, but it's like, but I would not teach that. because we've overcome it with hip control and power and our edging.
Right. But when you talk to somebody, do you say, just keep your head down?
I usually tell them to put their head on their left shoulder, right? Kind of like, or I mean, just like leave your head, think of your ear touching your shoulder. That should be the last thing to come up. It sounds backwards.
I like to tell them it's a shampoo commercial, you know?
Of course, you just let the hair dangle with the fucking golden locks over here. You know, we got a head and shoulders commercial with this guy.
Right. But here's the thing is that it may seem like the head is the problem, but the head is a symptom. Right?
Okay.
Like we lift our heads when we're pushing with our arms because we have to push away. Right? So we lift our heads when we're pushing with
our arms. It's a very common mistake.
Oh, it's super common.
It's probably, wouldn't you say that's the number one mistake?
I think so.
Which in turn causes that diving paddle issue. It causes that paddle. And they're like, my paddle just goes down because you're pushing up like that.
But the core of the issue really isn't the head. Right.
Okay.
The head is a symptom and it's starting to look at things like, you know, what are the symptoms and what are the actual causes? Like, so if you lift your head, it's because you're using too much arm and not enough help.
That's true.
Or, you know, if you set up for a roll and you're not getting enough hip snap, but you're doing everything correctly and you're really trying. And this happens to a lot of people. They have a roll and then they fail. They have a roll. They have a roll. They have a roll.
They get excited.
And then all of a sudden they can't roll.
I've seen it. I've lost my role. Wade, I lost my role.
It happens every time.
So much. You've probably seen every it way more time. Than me with training people. I'm like, let's work on that. Yeah.
People get into creaking and they're like, I've suddenly lost my role. And it's because a lot of times when people set up, they set up too far forward. You know, they've lost all that mobility because they're tucked all the way forward trying to protect themselves instead of just like doing a standard roll and actually allowing that room for this.
So you're thinking, come at it from more an aspect of like, this is what instructors should look for. You're not making an instructing, because there's 10,000 roll videos. I thought about that too.
There's so many roll videos.
But one thing that I have thought about, which me and you could kind of touch on right now, is what is your go-to roll? What is your go-to? I can tell you what mine is.
Oh, back deck roll.
Exclusively. And I don't think that's preached enough. As we get better, we find out that setup time and tuck and roll and all that bullshit goes out the window. I can back deck roll on anything. And I protect my face with putting my elbow across my face.
Right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And right it's like there. So many, even on a slide, I'm like, even on a slide, because if I'm on creeks, I'm probably wearing an elbow pad anyway. So, yeah, you definitely confirm that the back deck roll.
Even on a 90, slide.
What do you think you're at, 90%?
Oh, at least. But the thing is, like people say, even on a slide, if you're doing this on a slide and the slide catches you, all you need to do is hip snap.
Yeah, because it's going to pop you up anyway.
Your body's going to be on the uphill side.
The only time I'm tucking is if I know I'm about to go off a drop.
Yeah.
I don't want to be stuck in that back deck roll position. Okay. And you should mentally kind of know what you're going into before you roll over. And if I'm getting work pretty bad, then I'll go to a tuck position and ride it out and just ride that out.
And I've actually in a big, big hole. I was on the Zambezi. I actually just held my paddle over my spray skirt and I just sat there for a while
and waited and felt the pressures and all that.
I literally just like sat there and slowly exhaled and just kind of waited for it to stop.
Well, that's good because I've wondered that. I think me and you have talked about that. The go-to roll that I've done, I mean, almost exclusively is a back deck roll. I've heard a lot of people against that about the stupid setup C to C or hip snap. And I'm like, I can do a back deck roll on almost anything. Now, unless, like I said, and there's those times I might hit a rock or get worked in a hole, I'll reset and kind of hold myself and get washed out. But back deck roll is what you go to.
You know what's nice about a back deck roll, though? And people say your shoulders, but if you do it right, it shouldn't be a problem.
No. Keep them down.
About a back deck roll is when you're like lined up on the back of your boat, like this is my person right here, right?
Yeah.
You know, I this is my head, not feet.
For everybody listening, and he's doing little hand signals.
It doesn't make any sense this way. Yeah. But anyway, like you're just like switching. If you want to switch sides, you can literally just switch against the stern, protecting your face the whole time.
That's true.
And you don't, like, if you take a huge enough hit, like, your whole boat and your body's coming out of the water, and then you can just hip snap again. You know,
it's like, it's the most, to me, it's the most kind of underrated role out there that not a lot of people talk about. And that was one of the things. So if you do your role video, please talk about that. It's like, because I don't think even a lot of instructors don't, they're like, they call it the rodeo role back in the day. Oh, that's some play boaters. They don't creek boat. They don't know how to roll. Like, they wouldn't survive on a creek. And I'm like, dude, that's the best role to do.
You know, it was the play boating role because you took up less space underwater.
Yeah, and it gets you on the back deck. And a lot of times when you're doing moves, say you're throwing a blunt, you're probably on that back deck anyway. Yeah. So you would turn it into like a California roll or like a kickflip or something. So I get it where it originated, but it works.
It works really well. And I will tell you, you'll see a lot more people with a standard roll with black eyes than you'll see, you know.
Oh, for sure. Well, they'll also have toe tethers on and full face helmets.
That comes back to the full face, man. Yeah. I think that's why we get away without using a full face, because our full face are elbow pads.
Are you a bungee or Rand? What kind of spray skirt do you run?
I like Rand.
Mersin Research.
I was a bungee for a long time. I used the Snapdragon lips. I wish they'd produce it.
Snapdragon's mostly exclusive bungee, right?
What they produce is all bungee.
But it's really good.
I use a Rand skirt that they made me, you know, and I would use IR otherwise. And it's literally like, it's just the Rand is the way to go.
What's your go-to paddle right now?
I am all about the Warner Surge.
Surge. I have two of them. I liked it so much. I went and bought a backup.
I don't blame you at all. Like, hey, the Surge is that paddle that
200. What do you run? 197, 200?
197.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good. 5'8". So,
yeah.
That's about right. I think it could go longer.
Yeah, what I'd found, maybe you can back me up with this. What I'd found, the Surge can take hits and it flexes so well that it doesn't transfer that energy to my shoulder joints. And it just feels a lot of people talk about how weak those paddles are. But like I said, I've had my one and I've started with the problem with Warner, as we all know, they wear down really fast. So it started wearing down. I found a deal on a second one. So I have two Warner Surges and that offset blade is just beautiful for power grab.
I have trouble with my paddles wearing down, but I don't like jab rocks a lot.
Yeah. Well, I just,
a lot of people jab a lot of rocks.
I definitely jab a lot of rocks.
But you do a lot more just downriver freestyle too.
Yeah, and I am 360 in and spot, and even in creek boats and stuff. So I do kind of mess up and hit rocks a lot. But now I have a Lettman. So I have a Lettman Extreme 70. Dude, that paddle, next level. Yeah, I really like that paddle a lot. And it's adjustable.
It's adjustable too.
Yeah. And I didn't think I'd like that adjustment until I started using it, but I really like that Lettman.
And the durability is good.
Well, and it's like I've took some hard hits, but obviously it's Kevlar fiberglass reinforced. It's pretty tough and it has no flex. That thing has zero flex. But the when it's kind of like a really manky, rocky day, you'll see me in my with my Surge.
Yeah, I like the Surge. I use a Shogun too sometimes. You have to really like watch your shoulders on it. It's a lot of blade.
Yeah, it's a big blade. It's definitely a big blade on the Shogun, but they do have a fiberglass shaft in there, which has a little bit of deflection. So it takes a little bit off. But Shogun's one of the best and toughest blades I've ever used.
I love it. Yeah. You know, I love it too, but the Surge is the one I use the most.
Yeah.
The Surge is my go-to.
Well, good deal, man. Yeah, is there anything else? Anything else you want to bring up? What else you got?
Man, there's probably so much we could talk about, and I can't even think about it.
Yeah, we could go ahead and end this now. I might break this up into two parts definitely covered a lot of stuff. But, yeah, for everybody, so everybody that wants to, like, follow Boyd, go to the Sin School hit you up on Instagram or Facebook. You know, he's always posting something. This dude's always got some cool adventures. But, yeah, Boyd, man, I appreciate you coming on here.
I appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah, I'd like to do this again so we can – like I said, I think we could go on about all kinds of kayaking stuff. And is there anything you want to say, Boyd, anything you want to say going out here?
Man, I'm just stoked for more reviews. I like your reviews. I like seeing what's out there. And I'm really excited to just get some more content and talking.
Yeah. Let's go, man. Let's keep it going. But we're going to go ahead and end this now. If you guys want to check this out also on iTunes and Spotify. I will be uploading to that probably soon. This will be on YouTube now, so you're probably watching on YouTube, but we'll have a we'll pop this on Spotify and iTunes as soon as I can. But yeah, thanks a lot, boy. Thanks for coming on, and yeah, we will catch you guys next time.